Blog Talk Radio.
It's 3 o'clock and it's that time for the Financial Literacy Ride. Welcome to Build, Grow, and Enjoy with me, your host, Kalithia Jenkins. So go grab your pen, pencil, and don't forget the paper, and get ready for your journey for the next 30 minutes.
Hey, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to Build, Grow, and Enjoy Radio. A wonderful, wonderful day here on the west coast of San Diego and Los Angeles, I want to say. Today's date is January 23rd, 2012, days away from the biggest event to hit Atlanta. 3 p.m. in Atlanta as I speak of this big event that is up and coming, 12 p.m. here in, like I said, San Diego, Los Angeles, on the west side of things. Lines are open, everyone, 347-215-8709, BillGrownEnjoy.com, as always in live chat. As you guys know, we've been giving away some tickets for the biggest event that's about to hit the city of Atlanta, something new, something that buzzes around the city, something that's kind of shocked a lot of people, but it's been good efforts of getting our community to thrive. As you guys know, I just checked out a report, for those of you that don't know, amazingly, Atlanta's metro's unemployment rate has hit 25%. That is not good. So it's time for us to make a change, everyone, and that's what our efforts are here at Build, Grow, and Enjoy with this Keystone Leadership Award that we have brought to the city in an effort to get our community to pull together. We have to create this opportunity for ourselves because it's not getting no better, everyone. People are losing their homes. There are just no jobs, and we have to pull together as a community to make it happen. So 347-215-8709, BillGrownEnjoy.com, 2 VIP tickets. To the Keystone Leadership Awards, I have to give away 2 red carpet tickets for the upcoming event also. So as I mentioned, we are just excited. Days away, January 28th, 2012, hosted Sanford Center in Decatur, Georgia, who is actually one of the organizations of honor for this amazing ceremony that has hit Atlanta along with the Kroc Center. Ray and Joan Kroc Center, Atlanta, both community treasures that really, really contribute a lot back to the community. I'm knowing this especially with the Kroc Center because I am a foot soldier out there with them with the many events that they host and I support and out there with my team in helping our community to grow and thrive. So the Keystone Leadership Award is January 28th. Tickets are on sale, $100 VIP, you guys, and then $25 for the red carpet. It's going to be an awesome, awesome event. Have performances by some of the baddest jazz players that are in Atlanta, hosting along with myself and Maria Moore, 107.9 personality. You guys all know her. Also have Evelyn Mims, 11 Alive, Atlanta & Company, Master of Ceremony. Star from CMT, Triple Reese is on the red carpet along with Dr. Zelda M. Pittman. So it's going to be a really great show, not only an opportunity for you guys just to come of what we're trying to do in the city of Atlanta, Atlanta Metro, but also just to come and mingle with some of these amazing community leaders that are making a difference in our community, along with some of the celebrity community advocates that's going to be in the house. And it's just going to be a big celebration. After party, everyone knows, you guys see it all over social media. A lot of people are asking me also. Yes, Echelon 3000 is the official after-party spot, so you can take your tickets half off to go on over there. They have a great, great event that's going on. I think there's some jazz players. I'm not sure, but I know that the party's just going to continue on over there. So it's going to be a night of fun. 4 to 6 is the red carpet reception. 7 to 10 p.m. is the actual award ceremony at the Porter Sanford Center, Community Center. I'm on 3181 Rainbow Drive. So get your tickets today at Keystone Leadership Award. CharityHappenings.org. We are just days away. And as mentioned, we have had plenty of our Keystone leaders on the air so you guys can hear what they are, why they were chosen to be honored as Keystone leaders throughout our community. And today I have the second as like with Darby Hutchison, legacy and legendary honoree that I will be honoring at the Keystone Leadership Award, recipient of the Legacy Award for Civil Rights and Community Empowerment. And we're going to talk to the Reverend Ralph David Abernathy III, bringing the movement back. And you guys are going to hear a lot that's going on with the Ralph David Abernathy Foundation and the difference that he is making and bringing back to our community so that we can get it to thrive and get it back the way it is supposed to be. So welcome, Reverend Abernathy.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here with you and your listeners.
Awesome, awesome. So, Reverend Abernathy, you know, a lot of people, you know, you're just out in the community, and you know, nationally, you're out just, you know, making a difference and doing what you need to do with the movement, just, you know, from the legacy of your father, in addition to, you know, what you're carrying on to keep that legacy alive. But tell us a little more about, let everyone know what's going on with the Reverend David Abernathy III Foundation. A lot don't know about it, but let them all know what's the latest and what's to come.
Well, basically, the foundation focuses in on what I call the Beatitudes, the book, the buck, the ballot, the bars, and the betterment. The book is education, not just in academics, which is critically important to our community, but also it focuses in on education, the book meaning the Word of God. And it is my belief and our belief at the foundation that once you have become educated academically and in the Word of God, then you are a free individual. Because once your mind is free, then your body can never be enslaved. The ballot, the book, the buck, the ballot, the bars, and the betterment. The book is, as I just stated, the buck is economic empowerment. The bars is prison reform and dealing with the prison industrial complex, which touches every African American or the 90% of every African American family in this country. We have a relative or a loved one who's either been to prison, in prison, on probation, or on parole. The betterment is health and wellness. So you have the book. The book, the ballot, the bars, and the betterment. Now, in the area of education, my foundation has taken the initiative to acquire the church that is I think one of the few national historic sites that civil rights sites that exist in the city of Atlanta. I think it is important for us as a people to preserve our civil rights history, as important as it is for this country to preserve the Civil War history. The civil rights movement had a greater impact on the lives of all Americans in this country, and more people in this country benefited from the civil rights movement than any other social movement in the country. Women, the gay community, African Americans, all people of all types of races, Hispanics, Koreans, Asian Americans, all of the different ethnic groups have benefited, as well as the women, and as well as other people, including white women and white men and white corporate America, all have benefited from the civil rights movement. And so it's important for us to preserve for educational purposes, for unborn generations, for children to be able to see 100 years from now the roadmap. It said that the people who forget their past are destined to repeat it. I would say that a people who have the wrong knowledge of their past are also destined to repeat it. And so it's important that we not just preserve the past, but we preserve the truth of the past. And in doing that, the foundation has gone out and preserved one of the civil rights movement's churches, the church that Martin Luther King Jr. Convinced his father to get to help my father move from Montgomery at the end of the Montgomery bus boycott to Atlanta, Georgia, to be with him, Martin Luther King, in Atlanta. And we purchased that church. The president of then Wachovia Bank, who is currently the president of Regents Bank, gave us $500,000 loan. We purchased that church, and Congressman John Lewis then came in and said this needs to become a part of the National Park Service. And he introduced House Bill 1521 that is in committee now to implement a special resource study to put in first the first steps toward making the church a national park. In doing that, then it becomes a museum, and it will be a civil rights relic that will stand the test of time, for it is one of those old ship of Zion that has landed many a thousand. There is a lot of things that there are a lot of movements that took place out of the church. The church fed civil rights workers. The church housed the student movement to elect Maynard Jackson, the first black mayor of a southern city in the United States of America. The church was the meeting place when the students from Mississippi Summer, when students came from all across America to go into Mississippi and southern parts of the United States to help register black voters. The church was the meeting place and strategy session for late night meetings with my father and Martin Luther King Jr. It was that old ship of Zion that landed many of thousands through its movement and its social gospel ministry that was implemented by my father and Martin Luther King Jr. And so we're preserving that church and making it possible for unborn generations to come and learn the knowledge and the truth of the civil rights movement.
The to-be-born generation. You're absolutely right, Reverend. The children are the foundation. And just to touch on it a little more, kind of go back on what you're saying, you guys are doing, how you guys are doing it with the Center of Excellence. Can you talk a little more about what you guys have planned or some up-and-coming things or, you know, what the Center of Excellence is surrounding the youths and the foundation of the growth of our community?
Yes, the Centers of Excellence is a concept that I came up with to address the issues concerning African-Americans and the deficiencies that exist in our community, not by any fault of our own, but by a fault of a system that purposely denied and purposely disenfranchised the whole nation of people. Understanding that African Americans were the last people to get into the game of American lifestyle. We were brought over here against our own free will. And, you know, I know that there are those that say, oh, well, I don't want to hear all of that. Now everything is equal and you can pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. My concern is yes, we can, and yes, we will. However, everyone else in this country has had a 400-year head start on African Americans. We just got the right to vote in my lifetime. We just got the right civil rights, equal housing, equal employment, equal opportunity. We just received those opportunities in my lifetime and in your lifetime. And so prior to us being born, generations before us were suffering under a Gestapo, racist, bigot system that denied us the free will and the free opportunity to participate. So now that in our lifetime we've got these, we've received and have these freedoms that we fought for, by the way, it's important that we understand we fought for that. Nobody gave that to us. Now that we are participating in American society, we are behind. And the reason why is because we just got it in our lifetime, while other ethnic groups of people have been matriculating in American society for 400 years. So rightfully so, the African-American community would be behind. It would make sense that if we just got into the game of matriculating in life that we would be behind. What we find by that is I consider us as a people to be in the adolescent stages of our generational development. And other people are full grown. Other races, other groups of people are full grown. Understand also that we're the only people in this country that came to this country against our own free will. Everyone else came here looking for a better way of life. So they came ready to pull their resources together. They came here as a group trying to make a better life, a better way for themselves, a better life for their families. They came collectively with that one thing in mind. We did not come to this country with that in mind. We were brought to these shores against our own free will. And so the mentality is different. And so as a result of that and the system and everything that is played against us, once we've gotten into the game of life, we find ourselves behind. The key component to that, for me, for us to catch up as a people, is we have to help our children. We have to stop the bleeding. And so I created a concept called Centers of Excellence, because, of course, you know, education is the cornerstone to freedom. And I've said this time and time again, freedom is not simply the right to do as you please. Freedom is when it pleases you to do what is right. And so it's more than just physical. It's mental, it's psychological, and it's also psychosocial. If you free the mind, then the body will never be enslaved. And so centers of excellence, the concept of a center of excellence is designed that after children leave school at the end of the day, for a couple of hours, they come to a center of excellence where they first get help on their homework. Then they get tutored in math and in reading. They get a nice hot meal, baked chicken and candied yams and collard greens. They get a little mentoring in their home by 7:30. This concept, I envision 5,000 to 10,000 centers of excellence across America. If we can educate our children at that level, then our children will go back to school successful students. When they get their homework done at the center of excellence, they get tutored in math and reading. I had the unique and glorious opportunity. And my mother told me when I went away to prison, she said, don't worry, whatever man means for bad, God makes for good. And I thank God for the journey. They thought they were breaking me, but they were actually making me. I had the unique opportunity to have spent 10 years in the Senate as a senator, and then spent 2.5 years in prison on $5,700 on a state Senate expense account. But it was when I was in prison that my eyes became wide open to the existence of what is plaguing the African-American community. Prison is full of young black men and women between the ages of 18 and 35 who do not have a high school diploma. So it's simple. If you want to stay out of prison, stay in school. Do not know how to read and write. Prison is full of people who do not have a high school diploma and do not know how to read and write. They build prisons based on the number of young people that they feel. They have a statistical database that the number of young people that they feel will not graduate from high school. They're building prisons based on that. When we really need to be building colleges. But the fact of the matter is that these young people are not academically trained properly because they don't have the infrastructure to succeed academically in school. They drop out. The center of excellence is to replace that. The center of excellence is to come in and give young people that academic advantage. It's like tutoring, tutorial service. So you leave school at the end of the day. So you come back with your homework done. You come back understanding the math concepts and understanding the reading phonetic concepts. And then you become a successful student. Then you can leave high school with a high school diploma, go get a trade, go to a secondary college, or go to a university and get an education. And then you will have something that you can make a living out off of. But so for me, these centers of excellence are key components. And we came to devise this concept, and perhaps if God is willing, we'll continue to implement this concept, this visual concept we have, the abstract concept we have of the centers of excellence will become physical in through the YMCA, who we're working with right now in Atlanta to put our first center of excellence at the Butler Street YMCA right off of Martin Luther King Jr. Drive. And this is what we hope would be the model that would be put in place that we can duplicate across the United States of America to help our inner city youth become successful students, because we all know in the world successful students equals successful adults.
And that is absolutely, I couldn't agree with you more. That is just absolutely amazing. I hope you're listening, listeners, really hearing what Reverend Abernathy is speaking of, community nationwide. I mean, you really need to hear what he is saying, because it is ridiculous. Like I said, when I heard that number in Atlanta Metro itself at 25%, it is time for a change, and it does start with our youth. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come right back, and we're going to finish this conversation with Reverend Abernathy. So we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Kalithia. Build, grow, and enjoy. Every Monday and Wednesday at 3 p.m., join me on the ride of financial literacy through the eyes of the new America. Join me, Kalithia, with Build, Grow, and Enjoy every Monday and Wednesday at 3 p.m. to increase your knowledge about financial literacy on WIGO 1570 AM The Light. And always remember that someone is sitting in the shade today because someone planted a tree a long time ago.
And welcome back, Build, Grow, and Enjoy Radio. I have legendary honoree, Keystone Leader of Civil Rights and Community Empowerment, Reverend Ralph David Abernathy III, on the air today, speaking on what we are honoring him for, his foundation, the Ralph David Abernathy Foundation, just speaking on the education and the foundation of our youth, which was extremely touching. So I hope you guys are taking notes. If you need to replay this message, you really do, and it needs to be spread immediately, because this is what it's going to take to make a change. The lines are open, everyone, 347-215-8709. You know you guys can call in. A lot of you guys are hitting me up on my Facebook. A lot of you guys are hitting me up on my IM chat and Build, Grow, and Enjoy. I do have one more ticket left for the red carpet. The others have been given away. So just call in 347-215-8709. Reverend Abernathy.
Yes, Sister Kalithia, I wanted to mention to your listeners the critical position that we are in America today, and how important it is for African Americans to get out and vote. I cannot leave your radio interview today without touching on the importance of the African American getting out and voting, specifically because when Barack Obama was elected to office, nobody ever really thought he would be, you know, elected. Of course, people thought that, many black people thought they would never live to see the day when an African American would take office as the most powerful man in the world. and lead the greatest country of the 21st century. And now here it is. He is in office. And I'm sure that the world has seen, as we have seen in this country, the racism and the classism that he has been faced with. Now more than any other time, black people need to vote. Anybody, as I heard Reverend Cameron Alexander say during the Martin Luther King Day celebration in Atlanta, any African American who is not registered to vote and doesn't get out and vote for Barack Obama ought to be drugged down the street, tarred and feathered. So many people have died, sacrificed for us to have the right to vote. That's one thing. But to have the right to vote and to exercise that right to vote for an African American, to re-elect him, not to elect him, but to re-elect him as President of the United States, every African American in America needs to be running to the polls. The polls need to be overloaded with African Americans standing in line, in rain, shine, sleet, or snow, to re-elect an African American man as the President of the United States of America. It is, without it, it would be an indictment on black America. And it would be a shame and a disgrace for us in this country, black people and good and white people of goodwill, to allow the left, the pundits, the political pundits, and all of the individuals who seek to come in and kill, steal, and destroy, the masters of deception, to make us think that this man has not done a great job, to make us think that he is part of the problem when he has done nothing but solved the problems and created solutions. It would be a disgrace and a travesty for us to allow that to happen. We should be at those polls in droves, numbers that man cannot number. Those who are not registered need to go out and get registered. There is time right now. And this Republican administration is spending their time trying to come up with what amounts to a poll tax. You got to have an ID. And how many people got ID? A lot of people, but there are people walking around, poor people that don't have ID. And so you got to have a driver's license or some type of Social Security card in order to vote when there's never been a problem voting before in the past. All of these are things to help slow down the vote. What we have to do is recognize it for what it is and come out in a number that man can't number and re-elect what will go down in history as being one of the greatest men to ever have served as the President of the United States. Don't miss this opportunity. Don't miss this opportunity re-elect a great man in Barack Obama as the President of the United States.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I hope you all heard that. I hope you all heard that. Get out to the polls. Reverend Abernathy, there's a lot of huge networks, and I'm not going to call any names, that is actually in support of what you just sent the message out. So, yes, it's very important that we get out to the polls and just continue to pull together and making this difference for our community. We have a caller. I'm going to take this line. I'm not sure a few of them. I'm just going to take these callers. Hello, caller, 6511. What's your name and where are you calling from?
This is Reverend Gann. I'm calling from Atlanta.
Hi, how are you, Reverend?
How are you doing, my sister? How are you doing?
I am doing wonderful. Did you want to speak to Reverend Abernathy? And are you calling for the tickets too?
Well, I need them, but I'm calling in support of what he's saying, because that's what we've been preaching night and day. And we had a meeting with the SCLC, Ben Stahlmacher, who is going into the jails, into the prison system to get those who are not on charges, who are not charged yet to exercise their right to vote. And we're putting out an all-out campaign, going door to door to try to make sure that we get everybody registered and get everybody voting for President Obama.
Absolutely. Did you want to say
something?
Well,
God bless you, brother. That's a great work, and I applaud the effort. And you know, we can talk the talk, but it's not good unless we walk the walk. And you all are walking the walk, and I took my hat off to you. SCLC is a organization that has done a great work in this country and has been the premier organization, civil rights and human rights organization, that has changed the face of America. And so you all are doing a great work, and I just want you to know that you got my hundreds. You're right on point. I mean, we have to do it nationally. And day maybe I'll have the opportunity to be part of the leadership of SCLC, the organization my father founded in Atlanta, Georgia, with Ella Baker and T.J. Jemison and Martin Luther King Jr. Hopefully, I pray I'll have that opportunity to be a part of the leadership of the organization, because we.
I look forward to working with you.
Our work is not done.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. Well, Reverend Lionel, thank you for calling in, and I will see you at the event. I know you sent messages. You know,
I'll see you
there. Messages on my Facebook, but just hit me on my Facebook, and I'll see you, and then it'll be a great opportunity for you to meet Reverend Abernathy face-to-face.
All right. I look forward to it.
All right. Let everyone know. I'll see you soon.
Bye-bye.
Well, Reverend, as you can see, you know, there are a lot of people throughout the community, and I'm sure you're aware of this. But, yes, with us about to end this show, you know, we can speak on this all day, but is there a last message that you'd like to send out to the listeners on what they need to know so that this change can be taking place throughout our community to better it, to help it to thrive and to empower it, in addition to, you know, educating our youth and making sure they get out to the polls? Is there anything else you'd like to share?
Well, I just will leave you with this for your listeners. Fear not, God is not dead. He still sits high and he looks low. And put all of your hope and trust not in man, but in God. And do what you are being called to do. Follow your calling. It is time for us to rise up. We fight not against flesh and blood, but spiritual wickedness in high places. And so it is incumbent upon us to put on the whole armor of God, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the sword, which is the word of God, the helmet of salvation. And our feet must be strived with the preparation of the gospel of peace, nonviolent love, as Jesus visited us on this earth and left that model for us to follow. And so I call upon and challenge all of your listeners to follow the calling of Christ. I call upon them to get up from where they are and do what they know in their heart is the right thing to do. Some child needs some love today. Some neighbor needs a little help today. A homeless person somewhere needs a dime or a nickel or a quarter to help them to do whatever it is that they want to do or need to do, whether or not they take that money for something to eat or whether or not they take it to use it for something else. Pass on the love. And don't be concerned about where it came, where they're going, what they're going to do with it. Don't get caught in Satan's trick. Because when God passes on blessings to you, knowing that you're going to do whatever you want to do with it, it's through his grace and mercy he gives it to you anyway. And so it's for us to pass it on, not being concerned about what the other person does with it. But people need help today. And God has taught us to love one another. as we love ourselves. So pass on the goodness of the love that has been created in every individual to our brother man. We are our brother's keeper.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Reverend Abernathy, for taking the time to join Bill Grow and Enjoy today. Know that we care and you inspire us, and I'm absolutely honored to honor you as being a keystone leader throughout our community. So congratulations on being honored for the Ralph David Abernathy Foundation.
Well, thank you, of Kalithia, for having me on the show, for honoring me, for the good work that you do in the community. I pray God will continue to bless you, and you will continue to be a beacon of light and hope into the community of despair and confusion. And we need more Kalithias in the neighborhood and in the community. So God bless you in the nation and in the world. So God bless you. Keep up the good work. And I'll look forward to being with you on the 28th.
Thank you. Thank you. And there you guys have it, the Reverend Ralph David Abernathy, Ralph David Abernathy Foundation, legendary honoree of the night of the evening, along with Mr. Jarvie Hutcherson for civil rights and community empowerment. So make sure for those that are listening that you spread this message. You know the archive show will be up in the next few minutes as we end this show. Get the word out. Get out and vote, as Reverend Abernathy has said. Get out and educate our youth. Look more from Reverend Abernathy Foundation with the Center of Excellence that's coming nationwide. It is time for us to take the time and just grasp the opportunity and pull together as one. It's just ridiculous. As I said, 25% in Atlanta Metro, just in Atlanta Metro, and I'm not even going to call numbers nationwide. We have got to make a difference. So replay this message and get the word out and spread it. So that's going to conclude our show for today, everyone. Get your tickets for the Keystone Leadership Awards ceremony, January 28th, happening in Atlanta, Georgia. It's going to be the biggest celebration that ever hit the city of Atlanta. We are doing this to honor our Keystone leaders, as Reverend Abernathy and all the others. You guys know the list, and it is a hot list. And you can come out and meet all of our Keystone leaders, meet these celebrity community advocates, and just hear and just see them in person and the things that they are doing to make a difference in our community. It's time. So, Keystone Leadership Awards, charityhappenings.org, buildgrowandenjoy.com. Tomorrow, got the Keystone Leader, Porter Stanford Center, Executive Director David Manuel will be on the air, and you guys are going to hear why the Porter Stanford Center is being honored as one of the organizations of honor, along with the Kroc Center, and hear what difference they're making in the community as being one of our community treasures. So that's going to conclude our show for today. I will talk to you guys tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern, same time, 12 p.m. on the west side of things. And it was absolutely a pleasure to have each and every one of you guys join us today. Get this archive show out to everyone. Share it. Take the message and know that it's time to make a change. So as always, have a great one, you guys, and I'll talk to you tomorrow, as I said, and enjoy.
Thank you for taking the ride with me on Build, Grow, and Enjoy. Hoping all will be successful with the information received. Tune in every Monday and Wednesdays at 3 p.m. here on WIGO 1570 The Light with me, your host, Kalithia Jenkins. Remembering, positive people do positive things, positive actions lead to positive results.